all the hype. VOA What the Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, Jill Robbins tells us about possible new federal charges against former U.S. President Donald Trump. Ana Mateo and Katie Weaver present this week's Education Report. We close the show with a visit to Colorado's Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park. But first,
former U.S. President Donald Trump said Tuesday that he received a letter saying that he is a target of the investigation into efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Trump wrote on the website Truth Social that special counsel Jack Smith sent the letter on Sunday. He said the letter stated that I am a target of the January 6th grand jury investigation. The former president added, the special counsel gave him 4 days to report to the grand jury, which almost always means an arrest and indictment. Trump said he received the letter while he was with his family late Sunday. In U.S. federal investigations, targets are usually given a chance to testify before a grand jury, before government lawyers seek an indictment. The letter is often used to advise individuals that they have evidence linking them to a crime. Trump received such a letter before being charged last month in a separate investigation into the mishandling of classified documents. The office of Special Counsel Jack Smith did not comment. Smith's office is leading the investigation. The administration of President Joe Biden said any questions about the case should go to the Department of Justice. A grand jury in Washington, D.C. has heard testimony from several former Trump administration officials as part of the 2020 election investigation. The officials include former Vice President Mike Pence, former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and White House Counsel Pat Cipollone. The investigation has centered on actions by Trump and his allies in the days leading up to the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. Trump's supporters attacked and occupied the Capitol. The unrest temporarily stopped members of Congress from counting electoral votes that confirmed Joe Biden as the winner of the presidential election held on November 3rd. More than 1,000 people accused of taking part in the riot have been charged. The investigation also is examining attempts by Trump and his allies to dispute the election. This included the use of what some people have called fake electors in states won by Biden and disputed by Trump. Trump has denied wrongdoing. He did so again in his Tuesday post, writing, "Under the United States Constitution, I have the right to protest an election that I am fully convinced was rigged and stolen, just as the Democrats have done against me in 2016, and many others have done over the ages." Trump is currently the leading candidate for the Republican presidential nomination. Several Republicans, including House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Jim Jordan, the House Judiciary Committee chair, have defended Trump. But his opponents for the nomination were less supportive. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said Trump should have come out more forcefully on January 6th. Former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson said Donald Trump's actions on January 6th should disqualify him from ever being president again. And former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley warned, "The rest of this primary election is going to be in reference to Trump. It's going to be about lawsuits. It's going to be about legal fees. It's going to be about judges. And it is just going to continue to be a further and further distraction." In his post, Trump wrote, "They have now effectively indicted me 3 times, with a probably 4th coming from Atlanta." The former president is currently facing 37 federal charges, accusing him of illegally retaining hundreds of classified documents at his Florida home. In the state of New York, Trump faces state criminal charges, accusing him of falsifying business records. The charges came after an investigation into payments to an adult movie performer during his 2016 presidential campaign. And government lawyers in Georgia are carrying out a separate investigation into efforts by Trump to dispute his election loss in that state. Officials in Fulton County have signaled that charging decisions could come next month. I'm Jill Robbins.
Next, Anna Mateo and Katie Weaver present the second part of our new early literacy series. Anna is here now to talk more about it. Hi, Anna. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Ashley. I love talking about literacy, reading and writing. And this story, Introduction to Reading Skills, explains the stages of reading. It talks about print awareness, an early pre-reading stage, and then moves on to sound language awareness. This stage is also called phonological and phonemic awareness. Then letter sound connection. This is also called phonics.
And what about the next stages?
The last 3 stages happen at the same time. Vocabulary describes the whole set of words a person uses to speak, write, and read. Fluency is the ability to read quickly and with understanding. Comprehension is the end goal of reading, to understand the content.
What else will listeners get from this story?
Katie and I also give tips on teaching these stages of reading skills. So I hope that teachers, students, parents, and anyone starting out on their English learning journey can benefit.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Anna. And thanks for talking a bit more about reading skills.
Thank you, Ashley. Nice chatting with you.
Now, let's listen to the report, Introduction to Reading Skills.
Reading and writing in English are very valuable skills. But unlike learning how to speak, these skills do not come naturally. Reading instruction needs to be carefully and clearly explained. Direct, planned instruction is needed for success. Each stage in this reading skills series has its own video and article with tips, strategies, and suggestions for assessment. This article explains those stages. It also gives tips on using teaching strategies and methods.
Reading uses many skills. These skills build upon each other, but they can also develop at the same time. Reading begins with pre-reading stages. These stages are print awareness, phonological awareness, and phonemic awareness. Then come the reading skills of phonics, fluency, vocabulary, and comprehension. Here are some short definitions of these terms. Print awareness. As children begin speaking, they realize letters and words have meaning. They learn how books work. They notice letters and words on food products and signs around town. Educators call this print awareness.
Phonological awareness. In the next stage, students find and work with the sounds in language. Phonological awareness is understanding the sounds of spoken language. It involves many skills, from making rhymes, to counting syllables, to counting words in a sentence. As students master these early phonological skills, they can begin to move on to the next stage. Phonemic awareness. Phonemic awareness is the most advanced type of phonological awareness. It deals with the smallest units of sound in a word, a phoneme. With this skill, students can do things like separate and blend sounds in words.
Phonics is the linking of spoken language and written language. The alphabet is part of this stage. Vocabulary describes the whole set of words a person uses to speak, write, and read. Fluency is the ability to read quickly and with understanding. Comprehension is the end goal of reading, to understand the content.
Instruction for English language learners. Research shows there are certain things to consider when teaching reading to English language learners, or ELLs. ELLs should know the sounds of the English language before they begin more advanced instruction. Sing fun songs and chants with your students. Read poems and stories too.
Identify difficult English sounds. Teachers need to identify sounds in the English language that are difficult for their students. Some English sounds may not even exist in the student's native language. Practice those sounds a lot.
Research suggests that if a student develops phonological awareness in their home language, they will be able to use that skill to learn other languages. However, students who cannot read in their home language will need to develop sound language skills. Also, students who have had interrupted learning, refugees, for example, may need additional early instruction. Assess students to find out if they understand the connection between sounds and language.
Notes on using strategies. Strategies are simply methods for teaching content. Here are some tips for using literacy strategies. Teach in a direct way. Tell your students the name of the strategy and explain its purpose. To make sure they understand, ask them questions. Show them how to use a strategy. This is called modeling.
Do not use too many strategies. Only use a few strategies for each lesson topic. Using too many strategies may confuse students, especially early learners.
Do not worry about your students becoming bored with or tired of the same strategy. Routines are good for students. Using the same strategies or activities allows students to focus on the content instead of learning new rules. Knowing the strategies well can also increase a student's confidence.
Some strategies can be used for more than one stage of reading. It may need changing a bit. Feel free to move things around and to make changes to fit the needs of your students.
I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Anna Mateo.
Every day, VOA Learning English receives questions and comments from listeners around the world. Today, we answer a question from an English learner named Zangui. Zangui asks, "How can I speak English very well and sound like an American? I am from Niger, a country in Africa. I hope you will help me." I asked Learning English teacher John Russell to join me to help answer Zangui's question. John hosts a video program called How to Pronounce. Hi, John.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me on the show. Zangui's question is a good one, and a complex one. Speaking skills take time to develop. The good news is that with a plan and some effort, you can really improve. If you are interested in sounding like an American, you should follow our pronunciation program called How to Pronounce. We have over 100 videos that explore many elements of the American accent, individual sounds, stress, intonation, and so on. Your plan is simple. Budget 10 minutes to practice each day. Spend 2 to 4 minutes watching a How to Pronounce video. Then spend the remainder of your time practicing with what you have learned. By the time you have done this program for a few months, we guarantee that your pronunciation skills will be much stronger.
Thanks so much for that advice, John. You can watch all of John's How to Pronounce videos on our website, on YouTube, or on our Facebook page. VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Our National Parks journey takes us to the western state of Colorado. There, you will find a 77-kilometer-long canyon. Its exposed rocks are among the oldest you will find on Earth. The canyon is so narrow and so deep that sunlight shines only briefly at the bottom at midday. That frequent darkness is what has given this canyon its name. Welcome to Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park.
Black Canyon seems impossibly steep and narrow. The fast-moving Gunnison River formed the canyon over millions of years. As the river flows through the canyon,
It drops an average of 18 meters per kilometer. The Gunnison River loses more elevation in its 77-kilometer canyon stretch than the Mississippi River does in 2,400 kilometers from Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico. This loss in elevation causes the river to gain speed and force. Over time, that force has carved and cut the hard rock and created the wild and jagged rock formations found at Black Canyon. That process is known as erosion.
Black Canyon attracted little attention from early Western explorers. In fact, no early Spanish explorers to the southwestern United States reported seeing Black Canyon. The first written record about the canyon came in 1873. The Ute Indians certainly knew of Black Canyon, but only its rim, never the gorge, shows evidence of past human occupation. Even today, the depth and steepness of Black Canyon make it extremely difficult for humans to access.
Birds, however, have no problem surviving in the canyon environment. Black Canyon is home to many kinds of birds. They live at the canyon rim, along its walls, and by the river. Mountain bluebirds and great horned owls live in the rim area. The owls eat seeds and berries from the pinyon, juniper, and oak trees found there. Canyon wrens sing loudly within Black Canyon. Visitors are more likely to hear the birds than see them. They build their nests on flat surfaces of the canyon walls. So do peregrine falcons. They prey on other birds. They dive at speeds up to 300 kilometers per hour to catch them. American dippers build their nests in the gorge next to the Gunnison River. A gorge is a narrow valley between hills or mountains. These dippers feed on insects and small fish.
Some people come to Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park for world-class bird watching. But it is the canyon itself that appeals to most visitors. Walking along the rim, seeing the canyon's towering cliffs, and hearing the powerful flow of the Gunnison River far below is an overwhelming experience. At Black Canyon, visitors can view some of the planet's oldest exposed rocks. They are Precambrian rocks. Precambrian accounts for the Earth's history from its very beginning up until about 540 million years ago. Precambrian rocks are described as basement rocks because they are usually buried deep under the surface. They only become exposed when younger rocks have been cut away by erosion or other forces. At Black Canyon, the Gunnison has eroded the canyon walls so greatly that Precambrian rocks have become visible. Often, the canyon's rock walls look like works of art. different kinds of rocks fold together and form colorful patterns. The patterns change as sunlight hits different parts of the walls. One area of the canyon is known as Painted Wall. It is the highest cliff in Colorado. Long pink bands of rock cover this section of the canyon, as if a person took a paintbrush to the wall. This pattern formed as hot liquid from below the Earth's surface forced its way into rock cracks. As it slowly cooled, large crystals formed. The bands get their pink color from a crystallized mineral called potassium feldspar.
Local people knew just how special Black Canyon was. They began urging Congress to protect the canyon in the 1930s. It became a national monument in 1933. And in 1999, it became a national park. The park protects more than 22 kilometers of the canyon. Most visitors spend their time exploring the canyon rim by foot or by car. Several kilometers of trails lead to many overlook points. A road also leads to several breathtaking views. The U.S. Congress named the lands below the canyon rim a wilderness preservation system. This is meant to protect forever the land's natural conditions.
Some adventurous travelers choose to explore this wilderness by hiking down to the inner canyon. There are no marked trails to guide them. Hikers must first get a wilderness use permit. These permits are free, but only a limited number are available each day. Many of the paths are difficult to follow. Some are also dangerous. The Warner Point Trail, for example, drops more than 820 meters. Walking down takes more than 2 hours. Walking back up can take up to 4 hours. The Park Service warns that poison ivy grows wildly in the inner canyon. There is also the risk of falling rocks. But to reach a place where no humans ever tried to live is the reward. In the words of a 1901 explorer to Black Canyon's river area, "Our surroundings were of the wildest possible description. The roar of the water was constantly in our ears. Occasionally, a rock would fall from one side or the other with a roar and a crash, exploding like a ton of dynamite when it struck bottom, making us think our last day had come." I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.